William Everson said, we write through crises, but the crisis isn't always an immediate catastrophe. It could be something that occurs to you or possibly haunts you long after. The important thing, I think, he's saying is that writing is the way in which some people reach solutions to past or present problems. Do you do that?
Well, I mean, I try. I would agree with him in the sense that it seems to me, I wouldn't use the word crisis, I would use the word woundings. It seems to me that there are certain essential woundings that you see in people's poetry, that, like the death of Hardy's wife, for example, which just goes on generating poems for years and years, generations, decades. In my own poetry, I can see the death of my father, which occurred when I was five, still surfacing in my poetry. I'm still trying to come to terms with the idea that, and the emotion, that the world is giving other people fathers and is taking mine away. What's going on here? Well, you know, why do I deserve this? Why am I deprived in this particular way? What's the matter with me? That this is what I get at the age of five when someone else gets something else. So that I would say that there are these woundings and that we try to come to terms with them through our poetry. And I think we go on and on. And maybe we reach a point where you know, there is a catharsis. I'm just not sure. There's no question in my mind that there are certain things that I wrote about which I would call woundings that don't bother me anymore. I don't particularly want to talk about them, but there are things that the years have made seem small to me. And this may even happen, say, with a subject as large as the death of the father. Because as my life goes on, while I see almost every act, or every event, let's say, as having its a multiplicity of meanings and sides, as a teacher, I've come up again and again against a situation where a student, a young, gifted poet, finds that his family is dead set against his career as a poet. Being almost parentless as I was, my mother was working and rarely at home because my father was dead, I never had to cope with the antagonism of my family. The idea of my being a poet was okie-dokie with everybody. You know, as long as I stayed out of jail by hook or by crook, first thing, I'd be the first person in my family in a long time who did stay out of jail. And so I can even see a kind of advantage in not having that kind of direction. When I get a call on the telephone from some student's father who says, why are you trying to do this to my kid? You know, and I say, hey, wait a minute, I'm not doing this to your kid. Your kid discovered this crap called poetry and loves it. It's not my fault. You know, and I can imagine what these kids are getting at home if their parents are so pissed off that they'll call, I didn't send my kid to school to be a poet. So that, you know, as I get older, I see that in a way, you know, your attitudes change toward an event. And I'm also a father, and I have three kids, and they're not kids, they're men now. But as kids, I made a lot of mistakes with them. And, you know, a lot of the mistakes were after they were 5 years old. So I didn't have a father around after the age of five to make mistakes with, you know. Maybe that subject will gradually seem, you know, maybe living itself, as well as writing poems, will heal that wound, except that I would substitute that word, woundings. You can see it again and again in a person's poetry. For example, I mentioned James Wright. One of the things that's so powerful about Wright is that he grows up in a world in which there's no tenderness for women. And it just kills him. Book after book, he has this need for tenderness, which he sees acted out. Instead of tenderness, what he finds is fucking. You know, people want to fuck. They don't ever want to be tender to each other. There's no gentleness. There's no sweetness. There's no kindness. There's no generosity. There's a kind of predatory using. And this, you know, it still infuriates him. I find it, his book, Two Citizens, it's as powerful as it was in his first book. And he'd probably never get over it, you know. And it's a theme that really haunts him, the misuse of of that. I mean, it's really Ohio too. It's there in Winesburg. You know, the same kind of thing is in Winesburg. And maybe when you cross the Michigan border into Ohio, you just suddenly wow, you just see this kind of misuse of the gentler and sweeter aspects of the human. You know, I'd be surprised if Jim ever stopped writing about it.